Hello, I want to welcome you to the broadcast today. My name is Chaplain Blonda Gregory, and I know today that if you'll stay tuned to the broadcast, that God will touch your heart and that God will encourage you today. I know we all need encouragement, and if you'll stay tuned, I know the Word of God will go deep in your heart and spirit, and God will give you hope, and God will give you joy, and God will strengthen you this day. So I want to thank you for listening, and I know that God has marvelous things for us today on the broadcast. But first, I'd like to pray with you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask for blessings upon all of those under the sound of my voice. And I ask, God, that you touch them in a mighty way. And I pray, God, that you reach down and help us to have faith in you, God, knowing that you're the author and the finisher of our faith. And that, Lord, whatever you start in our lives, you're going to finish. But I know we must believe that you're a rewarder of them that diligently seek you. And, Lord, by faith we receive our salvation through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Help people to realize, Lord, that they need to be born again. Make that clear to them. Open their spiritual eyes. I pray for the sick today that you reach down, for you're the God that healeth all diseases, that nothing is impossible with you, and that those who are sick in their bodies, that right now they'll reach out and touch you in faith, believing for healing, and I call it done in Jesus' name. For those that have financial need, Lord, you said, beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. Help them, God, in their financial need. And Lord, I pray for those that are incarcerated. I ask specifically, Lord, that you keep them safe, that you bring the word of God to their cell, that you keep them, Lord, by your mercy and grace, and meet their every need, and give them hope and joy where they're at this day. I pray in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray for our country, and I ask, God, that you please reach down and bring revival in our land, and I ask it in the holy, sweet name of Jesus. There's no other name given among heaven whereby we must be saved except through the precious name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today, before I read my scriptures, I want to tell you of a lady that I met in Greenville, South Carolina, many years ago. She was an adult Sunday school teacher in the Methodist church there in Greenville, and her name was Mrs. Landrum. And I have traveled over this country and heard a lot of preaching, heard a lot of teaching, and a lot of teaching on faith. But Mrs. Landrum taught one of the greatest lessons of faith that I've ever heard in my life, and I want to share that with you. And it's such a blessing. So listen very carefully. Mrs. Landrum said that morning in Sunday school that she got up one morning and she was going to do some spring cleaning. It was the time of the year that she'd take everything down in her house and clean it and get it ready for the summertime. And she told her husband, she said, I have a lot of work today and I don't want to be bothered. I just want to be left alone so I can do all my work and get everything done that I have planned. And Mrs. Landrum says she started her house cleaning, and no sooner than she got started in her house cleaning, a knock came on the door. And her next door neighbor had a whole bunch of little kids, and they were all standing on her front porch. And as she opened the door, there those little kids were standing out, and one of them looked up and said, Mrs. Landrum, we're going to write a letter, but we don't have any paper. Can we borrow a sheet of paper for you? And she went and gave them a sheet of paper and shut the door, and they went home. And she said it hadn't been 5 or 10 minutes. She heard another knock on the door, and she opened it up, and there was those little kids standing out on her doorstep again. And one of them looked at her and said, Mrs. Landrum, we wrote our letter, but we don't have an envelope to put it in. Can we have an envelope? So she said she went into her desk and got an envelope, bought it, and gave it to the kids and shut the door. And she told her husband, she says, you know, I'm getting pretty tired of these kids coming to the house all the time. But she went back to her work, and she said she had no sooner got started in her work that another knock came on her door, and she flung the door open, and sure enough, there were those kids again, and they said this, Mrs. Landrum, we addressed our letter, but we don't have a stamp to mail it. Can we borrow a stamp? So she said she just went to her desk, got a stamp, and gave it to the kids. And this time she said she slammed the door in their face. And then she told her husband, she turned to him, and she said, I'm going to tell you one thing. If those kids come to my door one more time, I'm going to run them off. I am not putting up with them anymore. They just come time and time, and they bother my work. I'm not going to fool with them no more. And she went back to work. And she said it was no time that another knock came on the door, and she knew by the sound of it who it was. And she flung the door open, and she was getting ready to run them off. And she said when she leaned down to just give them a piece of her mind, she said a little hand stretched up to her and was holding this crack cup. And the child said, "Mrs. Landrum, we made us some oatmeal, but we don't have any sugar. Can we borrow some sugar?" And Mrs. Landrum said, she reached down and took that cup and filled it with sugar and gave it to the children. And Mrs. Landrum said, that's the way God is. So God is a busy God. Before we even get up, He's fed the birds. He's told the ocean how far it can come up. He caused the sun to rise. He clothes the lilies of the field. He makes our heart beat. He knows the hairs on our head. But He'll always stop when one of His children knocks on the door. And He will reach down and He will provide the need that we have. And I come by to tell you today that no matter what your need is, the Lord said if you would seek, you would find. If you would knock, the door would be open unto you. And if you would ask, you would receive. And if you, like these little children in faith, knowing that when they knocked on Mrs. Landrum's door, that the door was going to be open and that Mrs. Landrum would not turn them away, they knew that. They had that childlike faith. And if we can have that childlike faith, knowing that when we call on Jesus, that He is going to answer to us and He'll reach down and He'll fill our cup. King David said this when he wrote as a shepherd boy. He said, "My cup runneth over." Not only will God fill your cup, but He will run it over. Not only will God hear you when you call, but He will answer you. He will keep His door open to you, but we must call on Him. Today I want you to know that's faith. Believe in God to hear and answer prayer. Taking God at His word. And I want to read out of Acts chapter 3, verse 1 through 11. "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple, the hour of prayer being the ninth hour." See, when we pray, see, Peter and John knew how to pray. They knew that's how you access the power of God. They knew that's how you get in the presence of God. You could always tell when somebody's been a praying because people around them just can't help but being blessed. And that's the way it was with John and Peter. "And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. And Peter and John, about to go in the temple, and he asked alms. And Peter fastened his eyes on him with John, and said, 'Look on us.' And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which asked set at for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened unto him." And listen to this. This is so beautiful. "And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, and all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering." That is such a precious scripture. This man who had been lame from his mother's womb was set by the gate called Beautiful to beg of people coming in and out of the temple of God. But one day there were two men that had done more than just went to church. They'd been a praying. It's a difference when you just go to church, but it's a difference when you go and you've been a praying. Some people tell me they want to see revival. I can tell you when you see revival, when you begin to pray. I have revival everywhere I go. You say, "You mean all the churches you go to have revival?" They may not join in with me, but I have revival. Let me tell you, I don't have to wait for the multitude to have revival. I'm having revival now. This man right here, many church folks had passed him by, and no doubt that they had put stuff in his cup and kept him right there by that gate. But one day, two men that had been praying walked up, and they looked at him, and they told him something that no beggar ever wanted to hear. I don't have any gold and silver to put in your cup, but I'm going to tell you something. I got something better. Let me tell you, it's good. It's good to be good to people, and it's good to meet their needs. It's good to help them in the time of crisis, but you can't leave out the best part. And this is what they said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I'm going to give you in the name of Jesus. Rise up and be healed. We have healing in the name of Jesus. You know, as being a child of God, you got a lot of good things you can be giving out, but if you don't know you have it and you don't have the authority, how are you going to know to distribute to those that are in need? God will heal. God will set the captives free. God will turn things around. One time we were in a truck stop in Whitfield, Virginia, and this young man was thrown out of a car down on the freeway. They got in a fight with the people he was riding with, and they were all drinking and carrying on. And he came up to our chapel, and my husband and some truck drivers were standing on the outside of the mobile chapel. And he said, "Mister, can you help me? I'm in trouble. They kicked me out, and I don't have no money. I don't have nothing." And my husband said, "Come here, let me pray for you. Jesus will help you." And he prayed for him, and he asked God to help this young man. And as that young man turned and walked away from the chapel, there was an old shirt laying up against the guard rail at the truck stop. And he kicked that shirt, and when he kicked that shirt, two $20 bills came out of the pocket. And that young boy picked it up, and he turned, and he said, "Oh, God has answered my prayer. Thank you, Mr. for praying for me." And you know what? That wasn't the end of it. The next day, that young man came back to the mobile chapel, and he gave his heart to Jesus. Let me tell you, the Lord can put something in your cup, but there's something more that he has to go. He has to put it in your heart. There's something that can be put in your heart. Know that Jesus is not going to leave you on the outside begging. Jesus is just not going to pass you by with your needs. He's going to meet that need that you have. And Peter and John said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus. Rise up and walk." And that's what he did. But the Bible says that they reached down and pulled him up. You know, sometimes people, they'll hear the word of God. They'll know that God is able. But sometimes you got to reach down and give them a hand up. You know, I see a lot of people today. I have a prison ministry, and I take care packages into the prison. And I have a nursing home ministry. I take care packages into the nursing homes. And one day a man told me, he said, "Why do you fool with those prisoners? Why do you take care packages into those prisons? Those guys have done things that are wrong." I said, "Whoa, wait a minute, mister. Let me tell you something about those men in that prison, those women that are in the jails. Let me tell you something about those young kids that are locked up. That's some mother's child. That's some father's boy. That's some wife's husband. That's some daddy in there. And let me tell you, a man might turn their back on them, but Jesus hasn't." And I said, "Let me tell you something. If taking them a care package in will let them know that somebody loves them and praying for them, I'll do it." Let me tell you, somebody needs a helping hand today. Somebody needs a word of encouragement. Are you too busy that you can't stop and give somebody a helping hand? Are you so involved in your life that you can't reach out and pray for somebody? Are you so full of yourself that all you do is ask for yourself, "I need this, and I want this, and I need this"? Do you ever look at the needs of other people? I have to think about the story about the prodigal son who left home and spent all of his money and ended up in a hog pen. But one day he came to himself and said, "You know what? I'm going back home, and I'm going to ask Daddy not to take me back as a son, but just take me as a servant. I'm hungry and I
need help and I'm going back to my daddy's house. I have to think about the journey between the hog pen and his daddy's house. How would I have treated that boy, all filthy and nasty and nothing to eat and no clothes and just in a bad situation? How would I have treated that boy when he was going back home to his daddy? Would I have given him a sandwich or a hot cup of coffee? Would I have helped him or given him an encouraging word? Or would I have looked at him and say, "You stink, I don't want to have nothing to do with you"? But let me tell you, that boy was going home. And I'm telling you today, there are people today that you pass that they're going home. They need help. Can't you reach down and help them? Can't you reach down and give them encouragement? Can't you reach down and pray for them? The Bible says that when he prayed and reached down and helped him up, that he got strength in his ankle bones. All people need today is you to stop telling the word of God and they get strength to stand on their own. But this boy, when he got strength in his ankle bones, he went into the house of God leaping and praising God and walking. And I love the part where it says he took a hold to Peter and John and he held on to them. Let me tell you, you're going to hold on to people that's going to give you the gospel. Hold on to people that's going to take the truth. Hold on to people that's preaching the word. Don't give up. Don't quit. Oh, hold on to them. And then the Bible tells you that because of this man's testimony and because of what God did in his life, I'm talking about one man. I'm talking about one man that got up. I'm talking about one man that heeded the word of God. I'm talking about one man that went into the temple leaping and praising God. One man that held on to the preachers. One man. I'm not talking about a multitude, but I want to tell you what God did with one man. The Bible says because of his testimony and the miracle that was worked on this one man, that 5,000 men were added to the church, and that's not including the women and the children. What can happen if you and I will stand forth and proclaim what God has done for us? What will happen if we'll stand up and begin to leap and praise our God and rejoice in the presence of God and tell people, "Look what the Lord has done for me. God added to the church." I'm up here telling you right now, God will do the same for you, and God will do the same for me, but we need to stand forth and make a stand. What about Paul and Silas when they was in a dungeon at the darkest hour of the night? The Bible says they began to pray and sing praises to God. Two little preachers had been laid with many stripes. Two preachers that were put back in a dungeon. Oh, but they knew how to pray and they knew how to praise God, and the prisoners heard them. And an earthquake came and that place was shaken. The jailer came in, got saved, and it baptized his household. Let me tell you, things will change when you'll get up and make a stand and you won't sit down and give up and quit. And I have to remember the story when we're told about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These three young Hebrew boys made a stand in the face of the whole nation when everybody else was bound down to a false god. They wouldn't do it. And even though they were put in a fiery furnace, they came out just fine. And a revival struck over the land because there was three that wouldn't bend, they wouldn't bow, and they wouldn't burn. A revival took place, struck out in a dungeon because there were two down in that dungeon that wouldn't give up and wouldn't quit. They wouldn't quit praying. They wouldn't quit believing God. And God's at the appointed time. I'm talking to somebody. At the appointed time, God's going to send the earthquake in your life, and God's going to set you free. Don't lose hope. Hold on. God's got the answer coming. And this man who had sat by the gate for many, many years, from his childhood begging, one day God sent two by that knew how to pray. God sent somebody by that knew how to pick him up. God sent somebody by that knew how to believe God for him, to reach out and touch God for him. Some people just need help in their faith, and that's what happened that day. And that man held on to Peter and John until everybody came and they looked and they saw, oh, this was the man that was lame. This was the beggar. Oh, but no longer was he lame. No longer was he quoted a beggar. No longer was he marked as a person that everybody had to take care of. He was made whole because somebody knew how to tap hold of the resources of God. Somebody knew how to knock. Somebody knew how to seek. Somebody knew how to ask. And the same thing will happen in your life and will happen in my life if we'll just learn how to pray. Oh, so many times we pray and we get up off our knees and we forget what we prayed for and we don't believe God. A double-minded man can't receive nothing, but I'm telling you, if you'll believe God and you'll hold on to God's unchanging hand, a revival could break out in your land. There was one man that went on a mountain one day and he charged the worshipers of Baal. He said, the God that answers by fire, that's the God that we're going to serve. And that one man named Elijah knew how to pray fire down from heaven. And the Bible says that a revival struck out in the land of Israel because one man knew how to pray, and one man, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Today, if you'll learn how to pray, if you'll be like Mrs. Landrum taught, if you'll just keep knocking, God's going to answer, and God's not going to turn you away. When that door is open, look up in the face of your God and know that He hears and know that He answers prayers. He's not going to turn you away. I happen to think about the woman with the issue of blood. She began to say to herself, I just got to touch Jesus. If I touch Him, I'm going to be all right. The doctor said there's no hope for me. And I'm talking to some of you today. The doctor said there's no hope for you. But I'm telling you, Jesus, with Him, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. This woman, the Bible says she grew worse. She spent all of her money. There's no more hope for her. But she said, I just got to touch Jesus. And if I touch Him, I'll be all right. No matter what the doctor said, no matter what the medicine can't do, no matter that my money's gone, if I touch Him, I'll be all right. And the Bible says she pressed her way through the crowd, and she touched the hem of His garment, and she was made perfectly whole. She touched Jesus. Jesus stopped and had her brought to Him. Let me tell you, Jesus will bring you to Him. I was getting ready to lead a song in my son's church one Sunday morning, and I love that old hymn, Oh, I Want to See Him, Look Upon His Face, there to sing forever of His saving grace. And I was saying to my heart, Jesus, I want to see You. Jesus, I want to see You. And as clear as day, the Lord spoke into my spirit, and He said, and Blonnie, I want to see you too. Let me tell you, we want to see the face of Jesus, but Jesus wants to see you. Can you knock? Can you ask? And will you receive? By faith, I want you to picture. I'm reaching out to you. I want to lift you up in the name of Jesus. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I'm going to give it to you this morning. And it's the name of Jesus. Through the name of Jesus, you can be delivered from alcohol. Through the name of Jesus, God can bring your children home. Through the name of Jesus, you can be set free from drugs. Through the name of Jesus, you can be made perfectly whole. Through the name of Jesus, prison bars can open. Through the name of Jesus, you can have joy in your heart. Through the name of Jesus, depression has to leave. Through the name of Jesus, your soul can be saved. Can you call on that name that's above every name? There's no other name like the name of Jesus. The Bible says that 5,000 was added to the church, and even though the authorities threatened Peter and John not to use that name anymore, and that's what they're doing in our country now, they're threatening us not to use the name of Jesus. But if ever there was a time you called on Jesus, it should be now. Call on that name that's above every name. Call on the name of Jesus. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And I'm saying that to you right now. In the name of Jesus, get out of that depression. In the name of Jesus, walk out of that drug addiction. In the name of Jesus, be set free from the trouble in your marriage. Let God heal it. God can heal a marriage. God can heal a broken heart. God can heal your finances. It makes no difference what it is. There's nothing. There is nothing impossible with God. Nothing is impossible. Don't limit Him. Years ago, my husband and I had a part that we needed for our Kenworth tractor, and we were in Bakersfield, California, and there was this owner of a trucking company told us to go to the Kenworth dealership and to tell the man there to give us the part that we needed and just to tell him to put it on this man's account. And when we walked in, we told the man the part that we needed for our Kenworth tractor, and then when he bought it to us, we called this man man's name and said, he said for you to put it on his account. And when we called that man's name, the clerk's eyes began to wide open, and he looked at us and said, oh, gladly, yes, be glad to. Is there anything else you need? Anything else in here you want or you need for your truck? Whatever you need, just tell me and I'll go get it. You see, just a mention of that man's name, and of course we only got what we needed. We got the part we went after. We didn't take advantage. But let me tell you, just at the mention of this man's name, the store was opened up to us, and we could have had anything in there that our hearts desire. And that's the way it is with the name of Jesus. With the name of Jesus, God's provisions are opened up, and just on that name, you go in and you get what you need through faith in Jesus Christ. I want you to see that in your spirit. God opened up their eyes knowing that the storehouse is open, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. When you call that name, devils tremble. When you call that name, mountains move. When you call that name, dungeons, doors begin to open. I'm talking about the name of Jesus. There is a name I love to hear. It's the sweetest name on earth. It sounds like music to my ears. Jesus. His name is Jesus. All through, there have been times in my life that I didn't have the strength in my body or in my spirit. All I could do is just say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And even at the faintest cry of his children, he hears that. Oh, call on him today. Call on him today. Let him touch you. That name that's above every name. Just like Mrs. Landrum with her children. When they knocked on the door, she didn't turn them away. And faith has taken God at his word. And if you'll call on him, the Lord will not turn you away. He'll not leave you. He'll not forsake you. Man may leave you. Man may forsake you, but Jesus said, I'll never leave you, and I'll never forsake you. He'll be with you through it all. And if you'll call on him today, he will touch you. He will cause you to stand back up on your feet, spiritually, mentally, physically, whatever the need is. Call on him today. Today, I want to ask you to pray for the ministry. As I keep on traveling, I'm getting ready to make revivals in California and all across the country. Pray for me as I travel. Pray for me as I go out across the land. And pray for me that God will send in all that I need to keep on keeping on. Join with me. Agree with me in prayer. And I want to tell you this, that if you'll write me, I'll pray for you as well. I promise that whatever request that you send in, I'll pray for you. I want to pray for you, and I want to believe God with you. Where two or three agree is touching one thing, it shall be done. I believe God for that. And I want you to pray that God will use my ministry. And I want to invite you to visit with me on my website, truckingforjesus.org. And on there are a lot of my sermons. A lot of my books are on there, and a lot of things about the ministry that I have. But please pray for me. Anybody that tells you they don't need prayer, something's terribly wrong. We all need prayer. We need one another. We need to bind together. We need to be in one mind and one accord. Don't be an old grouch today. Don't be an old grumpy person. And listen, when somebody reaches out to help you up, take a hold of that hand, because it's through them a lot of times God will reach down and touch you. Don't turn them away, and be thankful and be grateful. God will hear and God will answer prayer. I want to thank you for listening into the broadcast today. I've received letters, and when I get a letter in the mail or a little note saying, Sister Gregory, I heard you on the radio, it encourages my heart. And when I read your letter, I just picture you sitting out in my congregation, even though I'm in the end part of my mobile chapel in my little recording studio, and I'm in here all by myself. I see your faces on the wall, and I'm preaching to you. And I pray that God will touch you, and that God will bless you, and that you'll be encouraged. And as the new year is coming on, that you'll determine in your heart that you're going to serve God with your whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. We don't know what will happen in our country, but we do know what God said. Jesus is coming back. And look up, because your redemption draweth nigh. God bless you today. I want to thank you for listening, and have a marvelous day in Jesus.